There's so much to unpack here. You have to almost dive into the human psyche and understand human behavior on so many levels to try to figure out what the right answer is.
They've never thought about it because I didn't start thinking about this until Bitcoin, until I went down this rabbit hole. And I was as patriotic a person as you could possibly be up until just a few years ago.
We're just not taught that in school. Most people don't have a lot of understanding or learning when it comes to that. And I think that to me is the thing that's not talked about enough in Bitcoin.
You know, the famous quote, people should never fear their governments. It's the governments that should be petrified of their people. But the people need to understand that they hold that power. It's not like gone.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. We have a special edition here today. I've got Brandon Gentile and Tony with me. Brandon, so this is all your fault, man. You reached out to me. You said, dude, we got to talk about this particular topic. And you were chatting with Tony. I think you had him on your podcast recently. I think what we need to discuss here is really what blocks people from going all in on Bitcoin, what blocks people from taking the steps once they sort of learn about Bitcoin toward self-custody, toward self-sovereignty. And the way you framed it was, it's like that 6 inches between, you know, your ears that people really struggle with. They're looking for government permission. They're looking for someone to take responsibility for them. Why don't you sort of explain what it was that prompted you to reach out to me? And then I want Tony to respond to that. And let's just jump right in.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, boys. This is something that I've been thinking about for a while. You know, 15 years ago, I mean, you guys, you know, kind of know my story. Some of the people have seen me before, or my channel, I guess, maybe have seen my story. But, you know, being a professional athlete, you know, a lot of it is, you know, visualization, personal development, you know, the mental game, right? I mean, you see athletes, and even it could be entertainers or actors. We're kind of talking about entertainment offline here beforehand. But, you know, a lot of that is visualization. And a lot of that is a mental. And money is psychological. You know, money is mental at the end of the day, right? We've used seashells before humanity as money. And so does money have to have certain properties? Yes. However, if the collective conscience believes the dollar has value today, when we know that really there's nothing behind it, it's just a piece of paper, then guess what? Someone accepts it, you go to the store and they accept it, and away we go. It's a con game. It's a confidence game, a mental game. And this can be good and bad. And where we were kind of talking about this is that it's, you know, so I got into a lot of this 15 years ago, the Jim Rohn, the Bob Proctors of the world, and, you know, the Tony Robbins, some of the people that people might know, I guess, but this mental aspect where I've talked to many people, and I'm sure you guys have, of they get it. Like, technically they get Bitcoin, or, you know, the actual physical parts of Bitcoin, what's going on. Like, they'll get, a lot of people will get Bitcoin, but then they'll say, yeah, but. You know, yeah, but the government won't let us do this, or yeah, but, you know, I can't do it here, or I'm too late. I get what you're saying. This is perfect, but like, I'm too late to it. And really, like, so many of the objections you hear have to do with this mental state people find themselves in. And so we can kind of unpack some of those things and these different objections we hear that really are just this psychological block that people have. But one of the big things too, I think, is that people, again, along with not being able to critically think, government-run schools for the last 150 years here in America, there's only one right answer in life. It's also not being or thinking and believing that you're worthy of this, of wealth. And in the wealth, not in the sense of like, oh, I can purchase a Lamborghini, but wealth in your time, right? Your time freedom, which is what wealth is. It's the things you value, it's your time and energy. And that's what Bitcoin is. It's the perfect encapsulation of your time and energy on Earth, because we all have finite time. And Bitcoin is finite. It's the only two assets that I know of, time and Bitcoin, that are finite, or that we at least have that are finite in this world. So it's this perfect pair, yet there's this block. Like, the math is there, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, you know, so it's like there's 21 million. You know, like, people can go through, do the homework. And so there's a lot of people that haven't done the homework. I get it. They'll get it eventually. They'll kind of do their homework at some point. But there's a lot of people that have done their homework, kind of what I was alluding to a minute ago, where they've done it. They see it. They get it. They've even admitted it. They're like, yeah, this is great. This would be, but, you know, oh, but the government, you know. So it's this weird world where people don't believe they're worthy of having their own time and energy. Like, we have to have a leader. I've got to have some man or woman telling me what to do, you know, memorizing what's going on in school. All the bell rings and now I get to do this. Well, the president told me I can do this, or we're going to do that. And, you know, you see it all the way back, you know, thousands of years ago, you know, give me a king, and I want a king. I can't lead myself for some reason. So this is just this thing that I've been thinking about for a long time. And I just believe it's not talked about nearly enough in Bitcoin circles, because we tend to fight as Bitcoiners. A lot of us are visionary, right? The personality types are in Bitcoin now, the early adopters. And then we're trying to like yell at people that don't think like that, which is totally fine. But we have to start, I think, changing almost the way we're thinking about it, the way we're talking to people and the way we are handling that, because there's just these clear blocks mentally that people have that need to be eroded. And some of that comes over time of pain, right? A lot of us know Tony's story, right? You experience this pain in life and all of a sudden, yeah, there's no choice. I have to, or just time takes care of that. Some of the education or whatever it is, but that I think is going to be sped up by, you know, those of us who can start talking differently to people and meeting them where they are, in the sense of, hey, this is a mental thing in life. It's a psychological engine that we're dealing with. And we're just not taught that in school. Most people don't have a lot of understanding or learning when it comes to that. And I think that to me is the thing that's not talked about enough in Bitcoin in that sense.
Tony, this is a theme I think you've hit on, if not directly, on and off since I've known you. And I think Brandon probably teed you up really well. How would you expand upon this idea?
Man, this is a massive topic in and of itself. I mean, there's so much to unpack here, because, you know, it's sort of like you have to almost dive into the human psyche and understand human behavior on so many levels to try to figure out, you know, what the right answer is. And there isn't just one, right? I mean, human beings are complicated individuals. But the common denominator in a lot of them, at least in my experience, is that I think most people self-sabotage, right? I mean, you've been living in a lie for so long that, you know, you just like block your brain from accepting that anything could be radically different, right? And one of the biggest elements in this is the fact that money must be government or central bank issued. Like the mere thought of something different from that, people automatically shut down, right? Like even if you provide all the scientific proof in the universe to them, they just shut down for whatever inexplicable reason, that's it. The other thing is that depending on the age of the individual or where they are in life, you know, certain, you know, circumstances may, you know, force them to be like this. Like, for example, I've known people that have been like wheelers and dealers their whole life. You know, you lie here, you scam here, you twist this, you twist that, and that's how they make their living. You can't do that on a Bitcoin standard anymore. Like, this is their trick. This is like their ticket to living, to paying their expenses, to making their own savings, right? Bitcoin changes all of this because, you know, now it's a completely different chessboard and these tips and tricks don't work anymore. So there's that. That's like one type of individual. The other type of individual is just someone who's always been struggling to make ends meet. Finally, they figure something out, or they get this one job that they're, you know, more or less happy with. It's giving them a steady income and they don't want to rock the boat anymore. So whatever you tell them, it's a massive risk for them to, you know, step to the side and try something new. They won't do it. The others that have accumulated like a lot of high net worth individuals, that's where ego comes in, right? Like they think, okay, well, look, I'm a multimillionaire or more. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Don't come to me with your Mickey Mouse internet money stuff. I've made it this far. I'm like 60 plus years old. I've got all this money. Trust me, I'm good. I don't need to figure anything out. So they don't, until they experience what I went through and they wake up, something breaks, and then, you know, all this millions and billions are just gone. And then they're shell-shocked into thinking, okay, shit, now what do I do, right? I'm guilty of, you know, that category because, you know, this was me in 2019. So I'm describing myself back then because I can still see it in like tons of folks that we interact with. So you've got this cocktail of individual behavior that is, you know, very hard to pinpoint, and everybody needs to come to this unlearning, you know, in their own way. Like, for example, in my closest inner circle, I forbid them from touching fiat. So that's one way. People might think, oh, but that's like, you know, too tough. But, you know, sometimes that works. Other people have another approach. And so eventually something is going to change your mind, whether it's, you know, it's going to come naturally, or you're going to, you know, have something beat you down in order to force you to change. But that human element, you know, this is the uncontrollable factor that I think stalls people from, you know, moving ahead into something that has clearly been proven to be in their best interest. This is why, you know, after 17 years, and despite its finite supply of 21 million, in a world of 8.3 billion, we're still dealing with Bitcoin volatility. Like, you think, like, common sense, that would have been gone, like, you know, 12 years ago. But yet here we are, same stupid reasons, same stupid behavior. And, you know, the whole thing keeps on repeating themselves. But the silver lining is that, you know, you keep establishing higher lows. And of course, you know, at its simplest common denominator, that price attracts those that understand nothing and don't want to do thinking and don't want to bother, right? So they look at that price, they get excited, they change something in their behavior until eventually, hopefully, they get to the point where they understand what, you know, people like us have been trying to put out for such a long time.
I couldn't agree with either of you more. I think what's really challenging, I think, for most people is, and Tony, you alluded to this, we grow up in this environment where we think this is the way things are, and we look at what our neighbors are doing, we look at what societal norms are, and while I would say that there is value to, like, social cohesion, you know, we all generally abide by common sets of values, and I mean, I think that's why there are a lot of people looking at, like, you know, the immigration, and they're like, we have, you know, just competing values in this little town, and it just doesn't work. So, like, I understand, like, the practical, but if you step back and you just say, what are the rights that I have been given as a human being, the right to, you know, defend myself, the right to speak freely, the right to my property, to the value produced by my labor when I mix it with nature. I think we've lost sight of just, like, the basics in everything I just described is something. And this is, I kind of tend to go through, I look at the world through the lens of the topic, which I'm studying at any particular point in time. So I've been reading John Locke and the history of the U.S. founding, and all of those things are spelled out very plainly by great thinkers of the past that no one has been educated on. And certainly no one has internalized, you know, when I say no one, I mean the majority of people have not internalized. And so they think that I can say what I want because government says I have a First Amendment right. They think they can defend themselves because government says they have a Second Amendment right. And that's not at all the case. They have a right to say what they want because they're human. They have a right to defend themselves because they're a human. And until we break free of those, that thinking that Tony talks about with, you know, like, government has to be the one who produces and distributes money, until we can break free of those chains, we're going to live in whatever the confines are that government has constructed for us. And right now it's one of tyranny and oppression. And so it's no wonder, I think, that people struggle to break themselves of the mindset that I can just do things. I can just hold my own wealth. I can take ownership, because even the smallest government people among us tend to say, well, yeah, but how would poor people take care of themselves? And it's like, I would love to take care. I would love to be a participant in helping take care of someone who is unable to take care of themselves. I just don't want it going through a government bureaucracy where 50% of the value of what I contribute is stripped away and sent off to a bunch of people I don't care about just to get the other 50% to people who I do care about helping. Let me just give that to them directly so they can take 100%. So many of the problems that we face today, I think, would be alleviated or completely resolved if participants in the free market could just do what they wanted to do. And it's an uphill battle educating people, not just on Bitcoin, because to your point, some people get Bitcoin, Brandon, and they understand the technology, or they understand the macroeconomic case for it, but they don't understand why they're deserving of this optionality to begin with. So I don't know if either of you have anything to comment on that or to expand upon your previous thoughts.
Yeah, it's because people have forgotten that they're worthy, right? Like, I mean, a lot of people associate their worthiness with the permission of someone else, you know, in this specific case, like of a government or what have you. It's like, if the government says it's okay, then I'm doing the right thing. If the government says this is no good, then I'm not a good citizen. And people have, like, genuinely believed that and ingrained that in their DNA and are just, you know, that's why, you know, they're called the sheep, right? In society, you have different echelons of human beings. You've got the ones, you know, at the base, that just live life, do what they're told, never really go anywhere. Like the worker ants, right? Like they do their one trick pony thing and that's it. And then the higher you go up the echelon of life, it's those people that, you know, like go against the masses. They do their own thing. They push, they struggle, they work out. They just do what other people tell them you cannot do. They just defy gravity and do it anyhow and prove them wrong. These are the people, you know, like the go-getters that, you know, want to live life on their terms. Like most people live life here. The successful people want to live life here, right? There's a difference between the two. And so to get up here, no one's going to give you that ticket. You have to go out and take it yourself. And so Bitcoin sort of like forces you to reprogram everything you've known your entire life with something new. And if you're the type of influence, like, but mommy told me this, or daddy told me this, and this is how, you know, my grandmother has always done her things, and this is how our family has always lived, and everything's been okay for them. Like, who am I now to come and sort of like disrupt all of this? And so again, you self-sabotage yourself. I use myself again as an example here, because when everything blew up in my life, I wasn't the only one. Every single member of my family got nuked as well. But who's the only one doing what I'm doing? There's only one. It's me. And despite all of this, yeah, but... So what does that tell you? Right? That there is something inherently built into people that, you know, some people are programmed for greatness. Other people are programmed to cease and exist at some point. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it sounds a bit, you know, dark and drastic to say this, but I can't find any other way to explain this, because even though you show the proofs, the scientific evidence, and you explain all the steps, yeah, but, you know, this is an internal thing. This is like a lack of self-worthiness, lack of self-confidence, lack of many things, you know, that we can't specifically pinpoint right now. But this is essentially what I genuinely believe hinders folks from greatness. And, you know, the more people, you know, go the distance, so to speak, in order to force themselves out of this stupid comfort zone, well, then these people are going to make it to, you know, a place in life that, you know, they've never known before. Like this whole Bitcoin thing, none of us know where it's going, right? I mean, we have an idea of where it's headed, but, you know, can we compare it to anything we've known before? Of course not. It's never existed. But scientifically, mathematically, you know, all the facts that we know about Bitcoin, we can pretty much, you know, comprehend what type of like a Renaissance world this is going to create, and this is why we do what we do. But people have to get there, you know, on their own merit, and it's going to take pain. I don't see any other way. Very few people listen to reason, you know. Like I know that my closest inner circle listen to reason. But most people don't listen. They're like, whatever, man, let me figure it out. And, you know, God willing, everything will work out. All right, cool. God willing is why you got screwed in the first place. And, you know, you still didn't do anything about it. So keep waiting. And hopefully, you know, some miracle will sprinkle on your head and fix your situation.
Yeah, Tony, you nailed that. I mean, even like some of the smartest people in my life who I'm close to, I could walk them through step by step Bitcoin, how I've come to conclusions about other things based on, you know, the rabbit holes, the tributaries of the Bitcoin river. And they'll say, well, yeah, but the New York Times told me, the Wall Street Journal told me, Fox told me. And I'm like, I don't care what any of them said. And they're like, well, they have an expert who was talking. I'm like, that expert was educated in the same fiat indoctrination camps that all of the other experts were indoctrinated in. Like, it's completely irrelevant what they think to me. It's not that they're a node on my network of knowledge. I'll listen to what they have to say. I'll weigh it against evidence from other places, and then I'll make a decision. It's not that I just ignore the experts. It's that I take them with a grain of salt because I know where they were educated, and I know the incentives that play in, you know, closed room meetings. And I understand all of that now. And you don't have to be real conspiratorial to get there. You just follow the money. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Brandon, if you have anything to comment on what Tony was just talking about, awesome. The other thing I want to do, though, is I want to actually address head on some of these questions. Well, what if government bans Bitcoin? Or what if government says, you know, here's how you have to use Bitcoin? Like, how do we
overcome that hurdle with people. So you can address that first or comment on Tony's response.
I'll let Tony answer that in a minute, actually, because he's obviously way better than I am at explaining some of those things. So what I wanted to kind of just tie a bow on is it's like the zeitgeist, right? I mean, Tony, you guys both nailed it. I mean, both of you. And the zeitgeist you have of this feeling, and this is where you like the simulation theory, right? Like we're in the matrix, we're in a simulation, and it's like this collective unconscious or really our collective consciousness where like people are just going around, like Tony said, like the herd. There's like this herd mentality where, like he said, God willing, like the irony is God gives us free will. People say God willing, like, hey, some things out of my control, obviously in life, obviously that's true for all of us, but like you also have free will. You can do the homework. You can change your mind. Like God gives you that ability to actually go and do said thing. And the simulation theory is like you see people like looking around and it's just like they're just trapped in this matrix, and people aren't, they're not doing anything. They're following what everyone else is doing, what the teacher said, like you guys all just said. So I want to trusty common sense. And so I got some props, and then the Declaration of Independence. Going back to your John Locke thing, we've lost so much of that. Again, going back to government-run schooling, all this, we don't get taught these things anymore. And the documents themselves are incredible, and we've just completely lost it. So the beginning of common sense, we have Thomas Paine's letter to the American people basically saying, hey, this is why we're going to war. Like we've tried everything else. We've tried talking to the king, and this ain't working. So it's time to go to war. We're time to grab our musket. And this is the very first little paragraph, which is unbelievable. He says, perhaps the sentiments contained in the following pages are not yet sufficiently fashionable to procure them general favor. A long habit of not thinking a thing wrong gives it a superficial appearance of being right. Wild, absolutely wild, and raises a formidable outcry in defense of custom or tradition. But the tumult soon subsides. Time makes more converts than reason. So exactly, I mean, like what Tony just said a minute ago, like we can reason, and you, Michael, like we can reason people and do all this stuff, but it's like the pain that's needed. And it's like people like being broken out of this like goo and this, just like in the Matrix, the movie, like you're in that goo and trapped. And then it going to fast forwarding a little bit here now to the Declaration of Independence, which is maybe one of my favorite documents of all time. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator, certain inalienable rights. Like you just mentioned, Michael, a minute ago, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, and this is the important part that I think people always forget, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, not the other way around. And this was the white paper moment, right? Like this is the original white paper, like the whoa, like breaking people out of that shell for the first time in human history. Deriving their powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute new government. Wild, absolutely wild. So this is, but then you have the white paper now, right? Like this next evolution of the nation state continually kind of like collapsing in on itself. And so anyway, I wanted to mention those, I'll leave it to Tony to kind of talk about this next objection, but I think those are so incredibly important. We've just completely lost the plot. And that doesn't just apply to Americans. I mean, that's every human being on earth. That's there for all to see. Just like the white paper is there for all people to see, to use, and to go forward with.
Yeah. And that's, there's a very obvious reason why in government-run schools you learn the Declaration of Independence, because if they start to creep outside of, just, hey, here's what you're allowed to do, here are a few rules that you kind of have to follow, confines you have to live within, if you start to understand what the intention was of the founding fathers, you realize very quickly that secession is on the table. You understand that, a revolution is on the table, that you have granted permission to the government to protect your rights, not to govern you, not to be in charge of you, not to rule your life. And that's, I think what I just said, I think most people would be like, oh yeah, they've never thought about it. The average person, because I didn't start thinking about this until Bitcoin, until I went down this rabbit hole. And I was as patriotic a person as you could possibly be up until just a few years ago. So Tony, let's address at the end of the day, we can philosophize about all of this stuff. There are still a lot of people who will listen to this and say, okay, yeah, I hear you. Great. We have God-given rights. Awesome. We should be able to, live life on our own terms. But what if the government bans Bitcoin? What if they tell me I can't run a node? What if they tell me I can't self-custody? Tony, what is your response to those sorts of objections?
It comes down to what I said earlier. It's self-sabotage, and a lot of it is denominated on fear. People don't believe in themselves. People don't believe in their own research or their own thought process, and their definitions of a lot of things, you know, in this world is completely wrong. The fact that you think you need somebody else's permission to exist, that is red flag number one. A government is not God, right? Like, they don't dictate what you say, how you breathe, how you live your life. They are here to provide you a service that you supposedly pay for with your hard-earned money in taxes, right? But people have forgotten this and have conveniently given up so much of their freedoms and their privacy over time that the people in charge, you know, have accepted it as a given now. And that's where you have the abuse of power. So now they believe that, well, okay, if these idiots, you know, are okay with everything we're doing, then let's keep doing it. Like, why end the abuse? It's like, again, goes back to the example of the bully. Somebody bullies you and you just sit there and take it. You think they're just going to magically one day wake up with a nice heart and leave you alone? No. The bullying will get, you know, worse and worse and worse until you put an end to it. And until people realize that they can put an end to the abuse in their life and that their miserable situations are the direct results of the decisions of bad people, nothing will change for them, right? So for me, the definition of government in the sense that I've been taught, I don't think about it as much, at all anymore. What we have today, in my view, is not a government. We have a mob, a global mafia of criminals that are colluding together in order to push a narrative, right? And these folks, these parasites, have been accustomed to stealing and siphoning time and energy of 8 billion people over such a long time that it's such a huge octopus now that it's almost like it seems impossible to get rid of them. And because they hold a monopoly on violence and guns, a lot of people are scared. I mean, justifiably so, like, who wants to be shot or killed, right? But it doesn't mean that you automatically accept yourself as a loser, as a slave, because of that fact, right? The power has always been with the people. You know, the famous quote, people should never fear their governments. It's the governments that should be petrified of their people. But the people need to understand that they hold that fucking power. It's not like gone. You don't need government's permission to live your life. Governments exist to serve you as long as they respect neutral laws. Again, that's another thing. Justice system, is it fair? These days, it's been proven that it's a complete farce. It's a two-tier justice system. There's a justice system for them, and then there's a justice system for everybody else. That is not a justice system that I respect. That is a bullshit system, right? So if it's going to be neutral, it has to be fair across the board. So even if you're at the top of the ladder, you break the law, you hang. No different between you and someone who commits another crime. But as long as, you know, we don't have this, then there's no real justice system. And people have the right to protect themselves. In the United States, you guys have the right to bear arms, something that's absent from a lot of other countries, right? Sadly. But people don't need to wait for that piece of paper to protect themselves. Like, if you live in a jurisdiction that makes gun ownership illegal, go get yourself a gun. Because what can an abusive government do to a population that can't protect itself? Anything it wants. So why would you assume that these are good people when you can clearly see evidence, you know, on the complete opposite side of that spectrum? And Bitcoin shines a light on all of this, right? Because then you finally understand that the root of all this evil, why it's all possible, is because they control the money. He who controls the money controls your life. And so as long as you keep giving someone else that power, you demean yourself. You sort of like you give up before even trying. Your self-worth becomes zero. And so Bitcoin gives you the opportunity to flip that board They're like, you know what? Enough is enough. I am my own person. I will follow legitimate, neutral laws. I'm a decent human being, contributing, providing value to this world. You will not abuse me anymore.
That is
the stance of Bitcoiners, true Bitcoiners, not the fiat Bitcoiners. I'm talking about those that believe in self-custody, sovereignty, freedom, you know, the real deal. And so you need more people to remember their self-worthiness. And it takes time, man. I mean, some people are just surrounded by toxicity, whether it's from immediate family members, whether it's from friends, whether it's from neighborhoods. The seek for approval is a bad drug, you know, and to wean yourself off of it, for some folks it's easier, for the majority it's a major challenge. That's why things are slow. But, you know, the window of time is not that big, again, because, I mean, this thing is like it landed, you know, from heaven, so to speak, Bitcoin, with a finite supply. So it's not going to sit around until 8.3 billion people finally get it. It's going to exist for those that are paying attention, and then the other ones will benefit from it, but nowhere near as much as the pioneers that have enabled it to endure and last for so long in order to benefit the 8.3 billion people, right? So we are part of history here. A lot of Bitcoiners don't think of it that way, but for me, everybody that stands their ground and helps, you know, push forward Bitcoin adoption and train individuals to understand their self-worth, teach them their skills so that, you know, they can pass this knowledge along, you are building the foundations of history that, you know, people 100, 200 years from now are going to read about. Maybe they won't know your name, but they'll know that you were the reason why they have the lives that they have, you know, then and there, where Bitcoin will become, you know, like a common everyday thing. It's not a big deal anymore. It becomes, you know, natural. So this is what I think.
Correct. And the irony of this, Tony, is that I think to a lot of people, you would sound like a radical making some of those statements. The interesting thing is that those are statements that I can very easily hear, like our founding fathers, many of the respected leaders of history who, you know, overthrew tyrannical empires. Like those are the principles upon which important revolutions throughout time were built. When strong, good men stand up to authoritarianism and say, enough is enough, we're done with that. What they had to do to make that leap was to opt out in the ways you describe and to say, I don't care, it doesn't matter what you say. What you write down on a piece of paper is completely irrelevant to me. We're going to progress toward a better world, whether you like it or not. And they just do things. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. Guys, we're close to the time here. So Brandon, why don't you give some closing thoughts, maybe any sort of encouragement you want to give the listeners about what we've discussed here?
Yeah, no, this is an incredible talk. And it's one that I think we're all going to continue having, and we need to do much more. And that's why we're talking about it now. And it's truly a 1 second decision to choose a money that doesn't steal from you, which starts reordering all these incentives in our life and starts to change the zeitgeist. And, you know, you just look around and you'll know people by their actions, right? You know, acta non verba, deeds not words. You'll know people who is telling the truth, who is trying to rug pull you, who is not, by their actions, by what they do. And that will help break people out of this cage. And again, you can't have dishonest money and expect an honest society. You know, you can't have good fruit from a bad tree. And this is just this thing that people are going to break out of. And like Tony said, it's going to take a while. And you too, Michael, like this is, you guys have both mentioned this, and it's so true. Like, you're going to have pain mixed with education. That's what we're doing here. Hopefully the education part to keep moving that Overton window over, to shift context of one person maybe. And then the next time, one more person. And then the amplification of that effect is incredibly we can't even comprehend it, I guess, right? Over time, that amplification of that one right person, that, you know, someone orange pills, and then boom, that person was the right person. They go orange pill 100,000 people or 1 million people. So the thing I'll leave with is one of my favorite poems, which is kind of, again, this reason why we started talking about all this, just the thinking aspect and the psychological aspect. It's called Thinking by Walter Whittle. And it hung in my bed as a kid, actually, in the Detroit Red Wings, like I mentioned earlier, I think maybe offline, was my favorite team growing up, and they had it in their locker room growing up, and then I had it in my room growing up. But it's, if you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but think you can't, it's almost a cinch that you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out in the world, we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. So appreciate you guys. It's great talk, phenomenal stuff. And I appreciate you guys. Grateful for you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on, Brandon. Tony, anything you want to share before we hop off? Any encouragement for the listeners?
Yeah, man. Bitcoin is the peaceful revolution, you know, but it reminds folks, you know, to not forget your self-worth, right? I mean, to add to the quotes you were mentioning here, Brandon, you know, there's one that always stands out to me, is that you can't call yourself peaceful if you're not capable of violence. If you're capable of violence, doesn't mean you're looking for trouble. It means that you put an end to the bullying. And until more people do this, you'll always be an easy target for a bully. So again, you know, like opt out of a system that was created to bully and steal from you. There is an option now as of 2009, and all it requires is learning a few steps. Done deal.
Well said. Hey, Brandon, real quick, why don't you tell people where they can find you before we hop off?
Yeah, it's just Brandon_Gentile everywhere on YouTube, the podcast there, Twitter, I think, you know, Noster, the same thing. I think all the handles are just Brandon_Gentile. So thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate you reaching out and glad we got to do this. We'll do it again sometime soon. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. You can learn about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you do some of the things we talked about, achieve self-sovereignty, take self-custody, all of that good stuff. Appreciate you being here. Gents, take care. We'll catch up again here very soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, boys.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.